Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, welcome everyone to Stand in a Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr, and again, today you are going to be either blessed or however I can say it with listening to Dave Kistler and myself. It was a pleasure to be with you yesterday, and we really appreciate the comments that we've gotten from listeners. Quite a number of them relative to the program yesterday we had with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, and looking at the biblical prophetical implications of this Iranian negotiation. But anyways, we're thankful to you for that, and we're glad that you're back with us today. Gary Dahl will not be with us again today. He's involved in another matter that's allowing him to put forward the mission of the American Pastors Network. And so he's there, and we're glad that we can accomplish a number of things at the same time. Now, Dave Kistler, you are back home now in North Carolina. I think you got home late last night, but are you charged up and ready to go?
You know, Sam, my battery is recharged. I'll say this. I got in about 1:30, quarter of 2 in the morning from over in West Virginia, where the Lord gave us a wonderful meeting, and the concluding service last night was just amazing. We had a packed house. We had folks saved, some that had been prayed for some time. And so, to be honest with you, right until the end of the trip, I was wide awake. I got just a tad sleepy at the end, but I was rejoicing all last night, rejoicing again today in the goodness of God. So, yes, sir, I am fired up and ready to go, and we've got a lot of topics to address that if you can't get fired up over this, Sam, you're dead.
Dave, you are correct. And I'm telling people, if you're listening now, that's a great thing. And hang on. Again, I encouraged people yesterday to call your friends. Call your friends about today. You're going to hear some things today on this program that you, I would say with great certainty, you haven't heard anywhere else. And it happens to be the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of the truth is not being heard on the regular media, but you're going to hear that today. A little bit up front, just so you get an idea of where we're going to go. We will have, or at least we should be having, a special guest that we normally have on Thursdays, David New, our attorney from Washington. And we're going to be talking about some things specifically related to the Supreme Court decision, but relative to really what we can do. What are actually some of the best strategies going forward that are achievable, constitutional, and I would say effective, because there's a lot of ideas out there. So we're going to talk with him in the second and the third quarter, and we're going to present some things, I think, within that segment that is really going to be an astounding piece of information to you. But, Dave, yesterday, in the last 2 days, we have talked about the Iranian deal agreement. Because of its significance, and in the press, it is there. You know, the president has held more press conferences on this than I recall, perhaps on any issue for quite some time. He's going to have another one, at least unless they have moved it, scheduled for 4 o'clock today. But he had one yesterday on the Iranian agreement. It was after our program here was off, but I watched a part of that, Dave, and I'll have to say I just have personally great difficulty in watching those kinds of press conferences. But there was one particular event that stood out to me, and it stood out to you too. Why don't you share it? Because I think our listeners ought to hear it. If they didn't see it, they ought to pick up the clip and watch it.
Well, Sam, what the portion of the press conference to which you are referring is when Major Garrett of CBS News, of course, Major used to be at Fox News, excellent, excellent reporter, but he asked a question, and he began his question with a statement akin to this. This is not a direct quote, but he said, "Mr. President, how can you be content?" And he did use that word content with this to celebrate this Iranian nuclear deal when there are four Americans still being held hostage by the Iranian government. And the president immediately turned his daggers toward Major Garrett and said, you know, Major, in essence, you know better than ask a question like that. Content. I am not content. And then there was a place where there was a very pregnant or long pause. And it was like the president was groping for what he was going to say, trying to grasp for just the right word. And then it's at that point he said, "Major, you know better than this," and just really dressed Major Garrett down in a very arrogant way. And Sam, that to me was about as telling a moment in that press conference as there could possibly be. Take away the fact that the president made some very clear statements of untruth relative to what is in this agreement. Take all of that away, all of that set aside. His demeanor, Sam, was narcissistically arrogant, and that is who this man is. You do not cross him. You do not question him. You do not in any way impugn him. He knows better. He knows best. He's got everything together, and this deal, because it originated from his White House, is obviously, you know, the best thing going. He also did something, Sam, and I'll just mention it, then turn it back to you. But he also did something similar earlier in the press conference with another reporter who asked a question, and the reporter didn't even get the entire question out before the president cut the lady off, and not as obvious and overt as the dressing down that Major Garrett received, but at the same time, very quickly went to the defense of himself and his position in a very arrogant fashion. So there's a lot more I could say about this that I'll not say right now, but Sam, I'm with you. I have a hard time watching him. When he comes on, my wife leaves the room. She just cannot watch him anymore because of the arrogance. But I was angry when I watched this yesterday. I was heartbroken. And then number three, I was just absolutely distressed that America could have elected a man like this, not just once, but twice.
And Dave, you know, I think you summed that up quite well. I had I felt that there was almost an ill spirit that came over him. It was very clear that the question went right. It went right to the heart, and it went to the motives. It went to the motives of the president. It threw him off stride. He had great difficulty, as you said, while he was trying to get his composure. But I think had he not been standing in that setting, would have been privately with him or in a hallway with folks, I think we would have heard different things perhaps come out of his mouth towards that man. He was, in fact, angered, which, again, point here, and then we're going to move on to another point, is that this is not the mark of a good leader of character. These are the kinds of things that indicate a deep-seated hatred and anger that manifested in certain circumstances can be very, very destructive. So, Gabe, let's just leave it right there. Let's go on here and before we go to the break here. There's another issue that's come up, is that people have been listening to the news. They've been hearing these allegations and so forth come out about Planned Parenthood. I think it's worthy of noting. CNN has released, talked about how an online video says Planned Parenthood is selling fetal organs for a profit. That's a felony, while violating medical ethics. That's CNN. Planned Parenthood comes back on that and says, no, that's not a problem. It's still legal. We just, because we're not actually selling them for a profit. We're just selling them. I mean, think about that. Fox came and talked about a shocking video discussing the shipment of aborted fetus body parts to research labs. And so this is involving a big interest in Washington and so forth, with many saying, you know, what can be done about this and so forth. This is a big issue. Dave, we just touched on this. We'll pick up on this just a little bit for a couple of minutes before we come back. After this break, where we're going to have as a guest David New. But folks, stay with us. We're going to talk about this issue. We're going to talk about what can be done and should be done relative to the Supreme Court's decision. We're going to talk about it from the parliamentary perspective and from a moral perspective. And that discussion, you're not going to want to miss. So you are listening to Sam Rohr and David Kistler on Stand in the Gap today. We're glad you're with us. Stay with us, and we'll be right back after these announcements. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for
every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Apollo 11 blasted off from Cape Kennedy this day, July 16, 1969, on the first mission to walk on the moon. Commenting on the Apollo program, President Richard M. Nixon stated, "Only a few short weeks ago, we shared the glory of man's first sight of the world as God sees it, as a single sphere reflecting the light in the darkness. As the Apollo astronauts flew over the moon's gray surface, they spoke to us of the beauty of the Earth. And in that voice so clear across the lunar distance, we heard them invoke God's blessing on its goodness."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
There's a large group of Christians who walk the streets every night, preaching the word of God. Thank you for your books. Your ministry is a huge blessing to ours. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
I am a youth leader at my church. I've just started to go into the kids' homes and tell them about the gospel. I feel that giving them the precious gift of the gospel in a pocket testament will get them fired up for God's word.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
All right. Well, thanks for being back with us. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler today on this Thursday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. Before we go to our special guest, David New, who, again, is a returning guest, I want to complete the thought I just started on the other side of this break, a little bit about Planned Parenthood. I cited the fact that if you've been listening, you've heard things on a number of the news services from Fox to CNN to New York Times to others that are talking about the revelations that Planned Parenthood, in fact, has been selling fetal body parts from aborted babies. And some of the stuff has been revealed by undercover video, but now there is an issue, and most of the issues tends to be swirling around the fact of whether or not it is legal. Well, I go far as saying is it's not with legality is one thing, and Planned Parenthood says that they are not guilty because they're not selling it for a profit; they're just selling it to cover cost, which I say is a bogus argument. There's an ethical issue here, which goes all the way back to that moral component. But I do want to say that these kinds of things happen with entities like Planned Parenthood, and there are a lot of companies that are supporting them, which brings up the issue of companies that are supporting, actually contributing to Planned Parenthood and all of their atrocities, not just with abortion, but the parts after it, such as these fetal parts. I'm going to mention just a couple of companies that are identified as major supporters. You need to know about it. American Express, AT&T, Avon, Bank of America, Bath and Body Works, Ben & Jerry's, Johnson & Johnson's, Levi Strauss, Liberty Mutual, Macy's, Coca-Cola, Converse, Dockers, ExxonMobil, Ford, Groupon, and others. If you are wanting to know which companies they are, there actually is a little app that you can get that go on your phone, and you can find it by going to lifenews.com. Lifenews.com, I believe, is where you can find it, and you can get more information there. However, I just throw that out just as highlights of the day. Folks, to be aware, the attacks on morality and so forth just continue incessantly, which brings us right up to a continuation of a discussion we've had relative to the Supreme Court ruling on the matter of same-sex marriage. David New, we're going to go to you right now. Thanks for being with us today, and we're going to look at this issue with you, but thanks for being with us.
Well, blessings to you and David and to the audience that we have with us today. It's so nice to be with you.
David, we're going to get right into it. I want to try and split what our discussion here into two parts. In this first section right now, I'd like you to go over and quickly hit the recommendations that you've laid out in a recent article relative to what can be done, I say, from a legal, legislative-type process to put some manners on and some restrictions on a court that's appearing to very much love to be legislating from the bench. Would you give us those three very quick, and then we'll discuss them just briefly in this first segment?
Sure. The title of the article, in which anybody can read in total, is called How to Beat the Supreme Court. How to Beat, B-E-A-T, and of course I don't mean that literally, but How to Beat the Supreme Court. All you have to do to read the entire article is to simply Google that, put that sentence in your Google search or any search engine, and it'll take you right to the Daily Caller, which published the article. Now, originally the article had seven suggestions. I'll basically go into all seven at some point, but they published the first three because it was all seven got to be too long. But basically, it explains how we can reverse and undo the damage that the Supreme Court is doing to this country. We need to ask God to raise up a Samuel Adams. We need to have another Boston Tea Party. It's time for a change in America. If we don't act, if we don't move, we're going to lose all of our freedoms. We don't even have the freedom to decide what marriage is in this country. The freedom has been, our freedoms, our rights have been stolen from us by the Supreme Court. They do not have the authority under the Constitution to make this decision. It is totally unconstitutional, and I make that very clear in the article.
I'm going to inject one here briefly. As a part of this, obviously, we've talked about here what the court ruled. They ruled on a moral aspect, which I don't want to get into right now. We'll go into the second part. But you're talking about a process problem, the violation of the separation of powers and all of that kind of thing where they've assumed powers that they don't have. So that being the case, folks, as we go forward, David, lay out the points that you think would be the top ones for bringing back into balance the balance of power relative to the Supreme Court.
The first one is a very powerful one, and perhaps even the easiest one. To make these things come to fruition, what we need to do is create a coalition of different groups of people who have been badly damaged by the Supreme Court in a 5-4 vote. The Constitution says nothing about majority rule. It doesn't say that 5-4 is the winner. It doesn't say anything like that. There, in fact, the evidence suggests since originally, and when the Constitution was established by the Congress, they had to, although it's in Article 3, Congress had to vote it into existence and create it. They have 6 members on the Supreme Court, so it's not likely that Congress intended majority rule to be the rule. Now, what this will do is we should require a super majority on the Supreme Court. That means a 5-4 vote will not be enough to win. You've got to have a larger number. That is one of the most powerful ways to limit the power of the Supreme Court. It's one of the most powerful ways to bring power back to the Congress and back to the states by requiring a super majority. This business of having the definition of marriage being decided by one single vote, it was 5-4. That means one person, one single vote, made the decision for 320 million people. That's crazy.
David Kistler, go ahead on that, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sam, to interrupt, but let me ask you a question, David. I know this applies to all of the recommendations you're making here, but in order to get a supermajority, that be the requirement for anything coming out of the Supreme Court, how would we go about that constitutionally? Are we talking about an amendment to the Constitution that would require that, or simply legislation?
Simple. Congress, under Article 3, has the power, Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, the golden words are, under such regulations as the Congress shall make, would those words give the Congress the power to require a supermajority on the Supreme Court? So there's no need to ratify an amendment. You don't have to do that. That's why this is a very dangerous, dangerous proposal to the Supreme Court, because it's very difficult to get an amendment passed. This only requires the Congress to do it.
And that's why this
is very dangerous.
And Dave, and what you're saying, it also requires a simple majority of Congress. The president would have to sign this. This president likely may not, but a next president may, correct?
Exactly. That's the key. This is the key. We're coming up to an election.
So okay, let's go to the
majority,
second one, Dave.
We can get to that. All right, second one I think has been talked about a lot, where we limit the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. That same clause, Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, also allows Congress to take away from the Supreme Court all issues relating to marriage.
Hmm.
It's that simple. And it has already been proposed. It's already been proposed by Stephen King from Iowa, and we discussed that before. So, but this is hard, and this also does not require an amendment to the Constitution. The third proposal is to change the amendment process in Article 5. This is something that really should be done. This will require an amendment to the Constitution, but if we get a large enough coalition of people, groups like Citizens United, people who oppose Citizens United, the Kelo people, the people who want property rights to be protected, the environmentalists, even the pro-abortion people, if we can get it to where these groups, along with the pro-family forces, come together, we can do it. And what I recommend is that there be a change to the Article 5 to where it does not require two-thirds of the members of Congress to propose an amendment, that a simple majority will do. And then it goes to the states for three-fourths of the states to approve it.
And Dave, what you've laid out here is something that is right within the realm and the possibility of this Congress. It's far simpler than trying to impeach the justices, which is also an option of Congress, but obviously we know they're not going to do that. But under this scenario, what stands in the way of Congress from doing what we're talking about right here?
To bring this about, the major obstacle is that it requires two-thirds of Congress, of both houses of Congress, to propose this amendment. That's hard. But if we could get it through to say we no longer are going to require two-thirds, but a simple majority for future amendments of the Constitution, that will transfer power from the Supreme Court back to the people. And that's the key.
David, you laid out a very simple approach right here. To us, and I think it's something that can and should be followed. So as we've laid this out, Folks, we're talking about a legislative process, something that Congress can do. They could do quickly. They could do effectively. It's in every way constitutional. It's appropriate. This is one way to put manners and bring the balance of power back into balance. On the other side of this break, folks, we're going to talk about the moral impacts that have been caused by the Supreme Court ruling, because it's far more than this, and I think you're going to hear some things that's going to really shock you. You are listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler. Stay with us right after we listen to Fox News here, and then back after the break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Lillian Wu. Reports of a shooting at a Navy Reserve Center space in Chattanooga, leaving one officer down. Chattanooga Mayor Andy Burke describing it as
very, very terrible situation, and we need to go figure out how we can handle it.
The FBI responding to reports of a possible active shooter situation there. Several locations, including the main campus of Chattanooga State, are in lockdown. Game of Thrones comes out on top in the battle for Emmy nominations, snagging 24 nods, including for Best Drama, along with Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey,
Homeland, House of Cards, Mad Men, and Orange is the New Black.
That's an excited Uzuba Aduba of Orange is the New Black, who helped announce the nominees. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources, with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler with our special guest today, David New, who is often with us on alternate Thursdays. And we just covered a few things from him relative to his recommendations for what can be done jurisdictionally or through from as a direct action of Congress relative to the Supreme Court. If you want to find or read the fuller context of that article, go to the Daily Caller. The title of the article is How to Beat the Supreme Court, How to Beat the Supreme Court, David New, and you'll be able to find that. Now, David, since we've got two Davids on here, David New and David Kistler, you know, the moral aspect of this, every law has both the constitutional component, which is what we're talking about here, but there's the moral component. Most in this country have not really, those have really pushed for same-sex marriage in this court ruling, have not really wanted to talk about the moral aspect. They've sought moral parity. They've sought to get a, you know, get the court to equip, to make some kind of a moral parity of the two, between heterosexual man and one man and one woman marriage and same-sex marriage. But, you know, we think that this is, you know, a small issue. We think it's a big issue, of course, but, you know, around the world, and this is what I want to pull up right now. I haven't seen it anywhere in the press, but around the world, this court ruling, the moral implications of this court ruling have been literally astounding. This administration has, for a number of years, been trying to encourage other countries to change their laws on human sexuality and marriage. Many countries in Africa, Nigeria passed a law last January, and John Kerry slammed him right afterwards and said, "This is an outrageous thing for them to do, to say that marriage between one man and one woman is the way to go." But if we look back even to last year, and this is where I think it's significant. Back in November of 2013, an article that really highlights Russia. If we all recognize Vladimir Putin has come out very clearly once this whole discussion began here in this country, came out very clearly and say homosexuality is not welcomed in his country. And they've been taking a very, very strong position on it to the extent that it is being used now to differentiate the East from the West. Here's an article I'm reading right now. Russia battles gay fever with straight flag as the U.S. pushes to ban the words husband and wife. There was an article, there were a couple of Democrats in Washington, evidently, it was in the Washington Examiner, that that are pushing to eliminate the words husband and wife. Well, Lord, that was seen, right? So that was heard around the world. Here is what Russia is doing. In Russia, they have held now parades where they are walking and holding flags that celebrate the traditional family of husband and wife and children, as compared to the homosexual flag, and this is what it is. This is what it's doing. This spokesman for United Russia said this: "We have to warn against gay fever at home and support traditional values in our country. We are speaking of the traditional family. We mean the average standard Russian family that is ours, mother, father, and children." Now get this. Over the last few years, Russian President Vladimir Putin is fighting back against the New World Order promoted by Barack Obama. And from kicking off World War III in Syria, to talking about some things that he's doing there. But what he's done is that he is becoming the defender of the traditional family. He's becoming the defender of truth. And as this one writer said here, brings us to the headline question: when did Russia become the good guy? Maybe a more appropriate big question would be, when did the U.S. become the bad guy? David Kistler, I'm going to go to you on this and say, this is an astounding thing that you'd have such a role reversal, but is it to be fully unexpected with the kind of positions that the court and this administration is taking?
Well, Sam, it is. It's shocking. I mean, it's shocking when you read that article and you understand that the United States, which has been a bastion of morality throughout the length of, and breadth of our history is now on the wrong side of the moral question, and someone who is just purely evil like Vladimir Putin is taking the right stance when it comes to something like this. Sam, as you were reading through that, my thoughts were racing to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, which says this: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, the United States of America, under the leadership of our current administration and our current president, Barack Obama, have taken the United States of America in a direction where from just this one issue of same-sex marriage, of homosexuality, Russia is on the right side and taking a higher moral stance than the United States. Sam, what does that mean? What does that suggest as far as how God views the United States of America? If we have leaders that are taking us this direction, what does it say about the United States of America? What does it say about the church in the United States of America that is not more actively, more aggressively resisting what this administration is trying to do? It's absolutely tragic. It is almost unbelievable that we are watching it happen.
The opponents from the administration, the Obama administration, take umbrage at what's being done, and they just try to limit these kinds of statements out of Russia by saying, oh, this is just pure propaganda. This is nonsense. This is just the same old Vladimir Putin trying to get an edge up on us. But David New, I'm going to go back to you. There is a moral component to this. That's what it's talking about. Is this purely a matter of propaganda, or does, as David Kistler say, does it really happen to be that Vladimir Putin is on the right side of the moral issue here? And how do you, what's your take on this?
There are a lot of things. I want to be careful not to say anything particularly nice about Mr. Putin. He's not a very good man. But, I mean, I do agree with him in this particular area, although I don't agree with the way he is, you know, he wants to beat up people and put them in, you know, in all kinds. I don't agree with that type of thing. But he is right with the idea that the family is the direction to go. That's what makes nations strong. Homosexuality has nothing to offer but disease and death. That's what it has. It's a very deadly situation. Every time two men get together, they are playing Russian roulette with their life. It is absolutely absurd. People can't say, what's wrong? Why don't you accept homosexuality? Well, grow up a little bit. Try to figure out what you do every day when you go to the bathroom. That's what it's for. It's not for anything else.
You know, Sam, that brings up a great point that David New just mentioned. What does it say about a culture, whether it be the topic of homosexuality, the end result of which is disease and death? What does it say about a culture that celebrates the murder of the unborn, the horrific things you were talking about earlier that Planned Parenthood is doing, the selling of fetal body parts? What does it say about a culture, a nation that celebrates and embraces death the way the United States is doing it? This is absolutely unthinkable that the United States of America could be a participant in any of this.
Comment.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Wanted to do is go for these last four in less than a minute that didn't get into the article because it would have been too long. The fourth proposal was to give Congress veto power over any decision by the Supreme Court. That's approaching a parliamentary-type situation, and it would require an amendment. Or in the alternative, to establish a national referendum and give the people themselves a veto power. The fifth suggestion is to elect the members of the Supreme Court. Very controversial. I'm not particularly for it. The sixth method is to have term limits for the members of the Supreme Court. Limit their terms to 14 years. That will require an amendment. The last proposal is to create what's called a Court of the Union. This was proposed in 1962 by the General Assembly of the States, where there would be each Chief Justice of the state, all 50 of them, would come together and vote up or down against any ruling that the Supreme Court made that they declared any state law that's unconstitutional. This Court of the Union would have the final say. That obviously will require an amendment through Article 5 to do that. So those are the other four.
And I think that those are excellent, Dave. Thanks for going over those at this point.
Sure.
The point being, folks, as you're listening to it, is that for the issues that come before us, like this court ruling, there are extensive ramifications. Like I said, there's a ripple effect that goes across the country. And there, this area where they rule unconstitutionally has all kinds of things that it is impacting across the various states and locals and so forth. There is, though, a response constitutionally. It involves Congress. If they do it, it is addressable. And it is on the moral side of the equation. Whether we like it or not, there are ripple effects that go across the world. Not possible that this nation can make the kind of decisions it is without having an effect around the world. So, folks, you are listening to Sam Rohr and David Kistler here on Stand in the Gap today. We'd like to thank our special guest, David New, for being with us in this section and for making these points very, very clear. Stay with us as we come. David and I come back on the other side and wrap up this discussion here for the day.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church. In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500 or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. At last year's December meeting, the Pennsylvania Family Institute Board of Directors decided to hire an additional constitutional attorney for our Independence Law Center to join in the fight for religious liberty and the sanctity of life. It was a step of faith because it means we need to bring in additional financial support to accommodate the growth. But it was also a very timely decision because the attacks on religious liberty for individuals, churches, and ministries are growing by the day. And that's why I'm so glad that attorney Jeremy Samick has joined our chief counsel, Randy Wenger, on the Independence Law Center team. They're here to help you and all Pennsylvanians fight for religious liberty. Please consider helping us financially with a generous, tax-deductible contribution.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, "Because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power." I'm Sam Rohr saying, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ, no matter the cost.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back. This is Sam Rohr with David Kistler. And I hope that you've were with us and stayed with us as we really plowed through in a very quick fashion some of these considerations in the last segments. But Dave, I want to go to you here right now as we kind of conclude this program for the day. We really highlighted a couple different things. We highlighted the impacts of the Supreme Court's actions. We talked about from a constitutional jurisdictional perspective, but we also ended up bearing down a little bit on the moral impact. And frankly, Dave, I tend to think that the moral impact that comes from court or legislative or governmental actions has a far greater impact than what many in our culture would say. You know, there are many who say, even in consideration of the presidential candidates, not to worry about what they think on these social issues. Just it's important what they think about the economic and so forth. But I don't think that we can separate them. I'd like you to kind of bring together a little bit here this moral component, Planned Parenthood. You already kind of mentioned it. We've got this circumstance that's actually with the court ruling that's actually changing the image of America. Put some of that together with us so that we have a better understanding of why we must talk about the moral aspect of what everything that we do.
You know, Sam, in your life and mine, probably the greatest example where we had it pressed on us, or at least those on the left attempted to press on us, this idea that morality and character, moral character, really does not matter when it comes to our leaders, is probably Bill Clinton. When the situation that happened with Monica Lewinsky was made public, there were many on the left, many that were defenders of Bill Clinton, that said, you know, what he does in his private life has absolutely no relevance with how he can govern. And Sam, there is nothing that could be further from the truth than that. The great preacher D.L. Moody years ago said this: character is what a man is in the dark. In other words, what a man is in his private world is what he really is, because the scripture says this: as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if a person, be it those that work at Planned Parenthood, be it those that would advocate same-sex marriage, whether it's five members of the Supreme Court or anybody else, if someone can advocate that which God is diametrically opposed to, if they can advocate that which is in and of itself against nature, and Sam, I want to say this, homosexuality is against nature. The murder of the unborn, the horrific act of abortion, and then the selling of body parts, whether you're making a profit or not, is irrelevant. The selling of body parts, Sam, that is an immoral act. Let me give you an example, and then I'm going to turn it back to you. Just before I went on radio, I was down at my son's house that he is buying, and a cat has had some kittens in the barn down below Nathan's house. And I have watched over the last several weeks as my wife and I have gone down and fed and watered those kittens. I have watched that mother cat tend to those three little kittens in a phenomenal way. She has sacrificed herself for them. When food shows up, she lets the three of them go first. If there's anything left, then she will have something. But it's tragic, Sam, when an animal will care for its young better than humans treat their young. So it's vitally important that we understand that morality matters most. It is the most important thing to look for in leadership, not the least important thing.
And Dave, I'm thinking about this as well. You know, when I read and I hear, and we've had discussions relative to what's happening in Ukraine. We've had Dale Armstrong on, our international director that's involved in Ukraine. And, of course, that's a battlefield, more or less, between East and West, between Russia and the European Union and the United States. There's a lot of discussion going on the ground there about, you know, well, do the Ukrainians go to the West and pick up socialism, which they don't want? Do they go to the East and pick up totalitarianism? And we're in the middle trying to say, no, pick up the biblical basis where there's that understanding that's neither socialism nor totalitarianism. It's the better way. Well, you know, that while that discussion's going on, the larger discussion is what Vladimir Putin is making, where they sitting there in that country and other countries around the world look and say, can we any longer follow the United States of America? Can we believe what the president says? Can we believe and trust where they're going when they're trying to force us to change our laws, which is what this administration is trying to do by linking, you know, continuation of foreign aid to whether or not they change their laws relative to homosexuality and gay sex? I mean, this is an amazing thing. I think, am I wrong, Dave, in saying, you know, have we swung from the shining city on a hill to a glaring cesspool in the ground? I mean, in the eyes of the nations of the world, we have really flipped. Can leadership and can a nation lead with high standards when they throw out God's law?
The answer to that question, Sam, is this: no, we cannot. And has America swung? Let me word it this way. I'm going to alter that word a little bit. America is definitely swinging in the wrong direction. However, Sam, what happened in Ukraine with that Macedonian call that came to APN about a year plus ago for pastors to come and provide direction, Sam, that's what's going to have to happen in the United States of America. We are not going to get moral leadership from the man we have in the White House currently. We may not get the necessary moral leadership, I pray we do, from the next president that we elect. But whether we get the leadership morally from the White House or not, in one sense, is not the most important. The moral leadership needs to come from God's house, and it needs to be God's men, God's preachers standing up and declaring, this is what we believe, this is the foundation upon which this nation was established, and this is what we are calling America back to. If that happens, then America can become that shining city on a hill that Winthrop mentioned so powerfully years ago.
Well, Dave, we do challenge, and listeners, as you know, we challenge pastors regularly because we believe that they have a very unique role in advancing the truth, preaching the truth of God's word, and acting upon it. But for the person who is listening here right now, Dave, the average person, not the pastor, the average person said, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't have that pulpit. Do I play a role? How can I play a role in doing this? Answer that question, please.
Sam, everybody, whether they stand in a pulpit from a professional standpoint and earn their income from a preaching ministry, whether they do that or not, every person has a pulpit. They have a sphere of influence over which God has given them the opportunity to speak. And so what I'm encouraging folks to do is this: speak up in your neighborhood, speak up in your place of work in an appropriate fashion, speak up in your school, stand for righteousness there, and let God use you. The scripture is full of people that had an influence on a nation's righteousness who did not stand in the pulpit. We don't have time to give all those illustrations, but the scripture is full of them. So is history.
Thank you, Dave. Folks, you have been listening to Sam Rohr and David Kistler today on Stand in the Gap today. We've covered a lot of issues, some big issues, a lot of heavy issues. But folks, there is an answer. Each of us, where we are, obedience to Christ, obedience to God's word, will make a difference. That alone will make the difference. Whether or not we solve the issue of the court or not is a different matter. Stay with us, folks. Come back tomorrow. We'll be here right here.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.